Shalom to everybody. We are continuing after our Pesach break. Welcome back. In Ayah, Rav Kook's commentary on Masechet Shabbat. We have a really special shiur tonight. One of the big questions that every thinking Jew asks is, why are some things on Shabbat prohibited and some things are allowed? Right, to schlep furniture from one side of the room to the next is a lot harder work than to flick on a light. We all know that we learned the 39 milachot, the 39 prohibited labors, we'll call them. We learned them from the Mishkan. And we're going to learn today, Bezrat Hashem, a Kabbalistic take on those halachot. Now, when I say Kabbalistic by Rav Kook, that does not contradict rational. As a matter of fact, by Rav Kook, everything works together. And so you will see that this Kabbalah is not only logical, but very beautiful and rational as well. So let's see the Gemara. We'll go into the share screen. The Gemara is Masechet Shabbat, Daf Memtet Amud Bet. And the Gemara reads as follows. Hadru Yatvik v'kami boilu. These rabbis were sitting and they asked, Hadidnan avot melachot, arba'im chaser achat, keneged me. Right? The Mishnah in the seventh chapter of Masechet Shabbat tells us that there are 40 minus 1, in other words, 39 avot melacha. Why? And Rashi explains that there are certain melachot that could be grouped together. So it could really be 36 or 37. There are several melachot, several labors, which are to that you're not allowed to separate the bad from the good. And it's really all the same. So why do we count these 39? Where do we get 39 from? Amarlu Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama Keneged Avodot HaMishkan. This is the number of the labors that were done in the Mishkan. And so we'll already foreshadow a drop that we see that the Mishkan is the antithesis of Shabbat. That which we did to build the Mishkan, those are the classic labors that we do to work during the six-day work week to this day. And that is the Mishkan is the antithesis of Shabbat. That's really what we're learning here. Rav Kook explains as follows. Source number 2. Menuchat HaShabbat uKedushato. The restfulness and the holiness of Shabbat. Right? Don't forget Shabbat has these two, at least these two aspects. Some people think just of the rest aspect. Some people think just of the holy aspect. And really both are important. Shehi ot bracha uKedusha laOlam. Shabbat is the sign of bracha, of blessing and holiness to the world. Now, when we talk about blessing, this should ring a bell. We sing in Lecha Dodi, Likrat Shabbat Lechu V'Nelcha, Ki Hi Mekor HaBracha. Shabbat is the source of blessing. There's an unbelievable story. Maybe I'll tell it here in a nutshell, really short. Rav Zalman Saratskin, one of the Gedolei Ador of the previous generation, he started his career in the rabbinate in a small village in called Setel. And this is where the Chavetz Chaim grew up. And as was very common at the time, we're talking about the 1920s, 1930s, there were some young people who started smoking and being Mechalel Shabbat, transgressing the Shabbat in the city of Tzetel. Now, this young rabbi had a problem because the father of that first boy who started smoking on Shabbat, he was a God-fearing Jew. And the Rav Saratskin, it broke his heart to tell the father that he has to speak to his son about his profaning the Shabbat. So he didn't know how to do it, and he sort of pushed it off. And Bekitzur eventually realized he can't push it off anymore. And he goes to the house of this old man, the father of the Shabbat smoker, and he sees a balagan outside, including an ambulance. And he asks what happened. And they said, well, the old man who lives here, he just had a heart attack, and we're taking him to the hospital. And Rav Sorotzkin obviously was upset about the heart attack, but he was happy that he doesn't have to speak to the father. He can push it off for a little longer. Anyway, the old man, when he was in the hospital, as is today, it's still a problem. They have signs up in the hospital not to talk about the patients. The doctor told the old man's family that he doesn't stand a chance. And he's not going to make it through, so if they want to bring the family to part with him. And so the old man heard this, and he dreamt about it at night. And in his dream, his mother, who had passed away, told him in the dream that she heard behind the curtain upstairs that he really will not survive unless he gets a bracha, a blessing from the Chafetz Chaim. And the old man wakes up, and he understands that doctors can't help him, and he wants to get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was the Rav of Radin. And even though the Chafetz Chaim grew up in that city of Tzetel, I forgot to mention, the old woman said that she used to watch the Chafetz Chaim as a child, and that that's the connection. He said, just tell the Chafetz Chaim that you are my son. He'll give you a bracha, and Bezrat Hashem, you'll live. So the old man, he was optimistic, and he gets dressed to leave the hospital secretly, and he goes to the local train station to take a train to Radin. He understands this is his only chance of living. And the Rav Sorotzkin sees the old man at the train station and says, what are you doing here? You just had a heart attack. Everyone is saying to him, you're supposed to be in the hospital. Well, the old man told him the story that his mother told him in the dream that he needs to get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim, so he wants to buy a ticket to Radin. That's what he's doing in the train station. Rav Sorotzkin says, well, you're not going to believe this, but this is really a miracle. The Chafetz Chaim is coming to visit our town today. He's coming in right now. And even though he hasn't been here for decades, he's coming in. And you can ask him for the bracha. And then Rav Sorotzkin thinks of a plan. He says, hey, I'm going to run ahead of this old man. I'm going to tell the Chafetz Chaim that he should tell the old man to tell his son to go back to observing the Shabbat, and in exchange, I'll give him a bracha. So that way, Rav Sorotzkin doesn't have to talk to the old man. Everything is fine, except for when the train pulls in. The old man runs to greet the train. Even though he was sick, he realized his life depends on it. And he beat Rav Sorotzkin to the Chafetz Chaim. And Rav Sorotzkin was upset. His plan, his miraculous plan, was going down the tubes. But what can he do? And the old man tells the story of the Chafetz Chaim. He says, my mother used to watch you, and she told me in a dream that I had a heart attack. The doctors say I don't have a chance, but if you give me a bracha, I will live. Now, the Chafetz Chaim, who was known to be very humble, he said, Yisrael Meir doesn't give brachot. Who am I? I'm not such a great person. I don't give brachot. To the, which the old man obviously got very upset. And to make a long story short, he grabbed the Chafetz Chaim, who was very short. He grabbed him by the lapels and started shaking him and said, if you don't give me a bracha, you're not leaving this train station. And the Chafetz Chaim said, okay, I'll give you a bracha. The Chafetz Chaim said to him, tell me, do all of your children observe the Shabbat? So the old man said, well, mostly, on the whole. Well, the Chafetz Chaim said, if you have a son who's not observing Shabbat, tell him that he should observe Shabbat. And that is the greatest bracha that you need to get better. Because as we say in Lecha Dodi, Likrat Shabbat Lechu V'Nelcha, Ki Hi Mekor HaBracha. Come to greet Shabbat, because Shabbat is the source of all blessing. And Rav Saratzkin says that he almost fainted. How did the Chavetz Chaim and Ruach HaKodesh know exactly the right thing to say and how to say it? Bekitzur, Rav Kook says that Shabbat is the blessing of the world, and that's what brings holiness to the world. Vashir motzohu mikedem, because the history of Shabbat goes back, way back, even before the world was created. Now remember that, because we're going to get back to that. Me'it, maybe I'll already foreshadow a drop. You may have heard in the army, when soldiers are really happy to run to the bus to get out for Shabbat, their commander tells them, don't be so happy. L'chol Shabbat yesh motzei Shabbat. Right? For every Shabbat, there is an after Shabbat. Chazal tell us that for every week, there is a Motzei Shabbat. I'm sorry, for every week, there is a Shabbat before and a Shabbat after. Now we know last Shabbat was Shabbat. Now we have a week, and next week will be Shabbat. But we also know that the world to come is called Shabbat. And also, what was before God created the world? The Kabbalah says it was also Shabbat, because all that there was God. We'll get back to this. Continues Rav Kook, Shabbat preceded the world. Me'it Adon Kol Baruch Hu, and it was created by the creator of everything, who first created the Shabbat, or first there was Shabbat, I should say, and then he created the world. Hashalem betachlit, the perfect world. Im ken bevadai teudat metziuto, hishlema betachlit. The goal of the world is definitely perfect. We see a world that is not perfect. Well, as we'll see, and as we've seen many times in the past, the whole idea of this world is a world of hitpatchut, of evolution. That the world is created on evolution. We learned in Orot HaTshuvah, that's how Rav Kook explains the whole world. That's how creation was based on evolution. And evolution is with ups and downs. It's a constant arrow of improvement. And that's what this world is about. Paragraph Bet. V'chasher ha-nekuda ha-rashit shebimtziut hi nekuda ta-kdusha. If the point of holiness, the starting point of holiness, is holy. Again, we're referring to the Shabbat that preceded the world, which we will explain. Merakez ha-chayim, merkaz ha-chayim shel kol ha-matsui, chayei ha-de'a ve-hod ha-emet. Right? That point of holiness is the point of truth. That is the point of knowledge. Al-ken zoti megamata te'uda ha-elyona. That's why this is the goal, the high goal of the world, is to return to Shabbat. We're going to see soon in Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev where he uses this term, Te'uda. The mission of the world is to return to Shabbat. She'atachlit ha'elyon shel kol ma'asim yiyeh gamur muchan. The day will come that the world will be perfect. Lo yitzterech limlacha ve'achana. The day will come where the whole world will live eternal Shabbat, and that the building of the Mishkan and the building of life, that things are built day after day after day after day, that life is based on learning more and more and more, and we mature in constant growth. There is a point that constant growth, we will get to that point of godliness of Shabbat. Haba mitoch chisaron ha-hitpatchut, right? The goodness will come from the stopping, the lack of evolution. Umniyat ha-shlemut, because the world as we know it today is constantly undergoing hishtalmut, not shlemut. The world as we know it is constantly improving. And as we learned together in Orot HaTshuvah, the best, most perfect a person can be is to strive for perfection, to improve, because that's, in this world, there's no such thing as perfection. But the day will come that we will get to that shlemut, to that perfection, and we will not need this world of building things, story after story, nail after nail, etc., etc. What is Rav Kook referring to? So first of all, we have to understand that this world is built, as we said, on evolution. Darwin did not invent that. This is found in the Kabbalistic sources. And modern science agrees that the world is based on constant improvement. And just as sports records are constantly improving, and cell phones are constantly improving, the most natural thing in the world is for me to improve and for mankind to improve as well. The Maharal explains this is why Basara Mamarot Nivra Ha'olam. Chazal tell us that the word Vayomer, and God said 10 different times in Maaseh Bereishit, in the creation of the world. Why 10? Because 10 symbolizes one stage, and then another stage, and then a third, and then a fourth, and a fifth, until you get to the 10, which is the completion of the digits, of the single digits, and now you have a complete unit. And the same reason why there were 10 commandments. Explains the Maharal, the number 10 symbolizes the completion of the different stages. And our world is a world of stages. I mentioned before that we won't elaborate, but Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to say that the answer to so many questions in Judaism is that it's talking about different stages. Sometimes things look contradictory, but one aspect is talking about this today, and the next aspect is talking about on a higher level. And just like the Kuzari says, can we change God's mind when we daven, when we pray? And he answers, no, we don't change God's mind, but we have changed. We have risen to a higher level. And if yesterday what was good for me was at this level, today that I have changed and risen to a higher level, this will be good for me. That doesn't always mean I'll get what I want, because sometimes the answer no is good for me. But continues, so what is the idea? This is the Kabbalistic idea that when the world was created, there was a hishtal shilut. The world had a let-down system, a come-down system, step after step after step after step, and that gradual step-down system, like Rav Arya Kaplan gives the example of a transformer, right? If the electricity is 220 volt and the appliance is 110 volt, you need a transformer to step down, to take down the electric charge. Similarly, God's electric charge is so strong that in order for us to exist, there had to be these four worlds, Abiyah, Atzilut, Briyah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. And this is how the world was created. Now, what is our life about? The world is about climbing back up to where we started. And that is the world of Hitpatchut. Maybe we'll get back to it later. You know what? We'll do it now because we're always run out of time. Let's jump to Source 13. Source 13, the Rambam, and this is something that we've mentioned in the past, in Shmona Prakim, Perek Shishi, he deals with the famous question, who is greater, the person who is just unbelievably righteous, or the person who has to overcome michshol after michshol? He has to overcome stumbling block after stumbling block and work hard. And he does have a Yetzer Hara. Now the philosophers, baskama mina philosophim, she'achasid yoter chashuv v'yoter shalim mina moshel benafsho. The philosophers said that somebody who doesn't have to struggle with his lower desires, he's on a higher level, because he just doesn't have to waste his time, and he doesn't have to fight. He just is great. The very fact that somebody desires bad is bad. That Judaism, our rabbis teach us the exact opposite. That somebody who has to struggle and overcome and climb back to God, he is on a higher level than somebody who's just born righteous, and his parents were righteous, and he got righteous education. And the Rambam brings several proofs. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah, Daf Nun Bet, says that whoever is greater, more righteous than his friend, he has a greater desire that he has to overcome. That's part of his greatness. V'amru lefun tzara agra. That's the shortest Mishnah in the Shas. We had a Mishnah by heart contest, and I had a friend who was pretty lazy, and he just learned two Mishnayot, this Lefun Sara Agra, and one other short Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which means that according to the difficulty, that is the reward. In other words, the more you struggle, the more you gain. According to the pain, the gain. Pain is not the opposite of pleasure. Pain brings the pleasure. Vehu Amram, Rabbi say, Amar Rishon Gamliel Omer, Lo Yomar Adam E Efshi Lechol Basar Bechalav. A person should not say, I don't want to eat a cheeseburger. I don't want to eat pig. Why? Because these are mitzvot which are shim'iyot. The only reason why we don't eat pig is because Hashem said so. Well, if you learn Tameya Mitzvot and you learn Kabbalah, you'll learn the benefits of it. But Sach HaKol, the bottom line is, there are mitzvot which are sichliot, which are logical, and there are mitzvot which are shimiot, that we have to overcome our desire. And Chazal say a person should say, I want to eat a cheeseburger, but what can I do? Hashem doesn't allow. I want to eat pig, but what can I do? Hashem doesn't allow. And if so, the Rambam says, Judaism believes that climbing, again, this evolution, climbing back to God, the hishtalmut, that's what this world is about. And that's not our topic, but in parenthetically, whenever anybody asks about why bad things happen to good people, well, there's the answer, as we've said many times in the past. This world is a perfect world to climb. It's a perfect world to become a partner with God, that we have free will, that we can rise or we can fall, that we can become godly and fix the world. But if somebody is looking for a world with no pain and no tragedy and no death and no sickness, he ain't in the right place. That is not this world. That is the world to come, which we're going to talk about. Now, to understand what we're talking about, let us look quickly in Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman, We'll do it orally at the beginning. He says that we'll just do the third line here. V'akol kasher lechol lo nivra ela bishvil Yisrael. The entire world was created for the nation of Israel. V'Yisrael be'atzman ikar briyatan bishvil bechinat Shabbat. The main point of Am Yisrael is for Shabbat. So the goal of the world is Israel. The goal of Israel is Shabbat. Shehu hatachlit. The goal is to get to Shabbat. Ki Shabbatu tachlit maaseh shamayim va'aretz. That is the goal of creation, to climb back to Shabbat. Shu bechinat olam haneshamot. Shabbat is, well, let's already see it inside. I brought for you, Chazal say in Masechet Brachot, Nun Zayin, Source 10, Shabbat echad mishishim lo'olam haba. Shabbat is 1/60th of the world to come. That's what we say in benching. Harachamanu yanchilenu yom shekulo Shabbat umnucha l'chayo olamim. We ask that Hashem should grant us the future ideal world, which is 60 times as great as Shabbat. But if you want to know what the world to come is about, it's like Shabbat. And the Mishnah Masechet Tamid, Source 9, b'Shabbat ayu omrim, to this day, we say, and the Levi'im, the Levites, used to say in the Holy Temple, what was the Shir Shel Yom, the song that they sang? Every day there was a different song. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. Mizmur Shir La'atid Lavo Liyom Shekulo Shabbat Umnucha L'chaye Olamim. The whole idea of this world is to get to a world which is totally Shabbat. Now, where is... Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
I am sure that your question is very important, and...
Sorry.
Yeah, I'll answer. Vakasha.
It seems like such circular thinking. Why did Hashem create the world for the Jewish people? Why the Jewish people for Shabbat? But when Hashem created the world, it says that Hashem created the world in 6 days, and he rested on Shabbat. It makes it sound like the whole reason for creating the world was for Shabbat. Something doesn't fit. I don't know how to...
Fantastic. I'm glad that you you didn't remind me, because I was going to get there, but what you're saying is that the punchline is missing, and here it comes. Source 11. We mentioned many times that a lot of Rav Kook is based on Chassidut. And Rav Kook was a student of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. He learned in Volozhin, and he also... is a Chassid. His mother was Chassidic. His father was from Volozhin. And Rav Kook synthesizes the two, as we've seen in the past, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And here it comes. Source 11. The Meir Einayim, one of the classic books on Kabbalah, writes as follows. Melechet HaMishkan Eino Doche Shabbat. Why does the Mishkan not supersede Shabbat? Why are we not allowed to do the works of the labors of the Mishkan on Shabbat? Here we have to get back. This I did forget to mention. Almost every time Shabbat is mentioned, it's in the context of the Mishkan. In Source 3, Vayikra Yudtet, Et Shabtotai Tishmoru Migdashi Tirao Ani Hashem. You shall observe the Shabbat and respect and be in awe of the Mishkan. Shabbat and Mishkan go together. Now, what's interesting is that Shabbat is mentioned in Parshat Beshalach. It's mentioned again in Yitro. It's mentioned again in Parshat Mishpatim. It's mentioned again in Ki Tisa. So, okay, so here we're building the Mishkan. So Hashem decides that we should mention Shabbat again in the context of the Mishkan. Source 4. Again, Vayikra Chavav, later on, same pasuk, et Shabtotai Tishmoru Migdashi Tirao Ani Hashem. You have to observe the Shabbat, and you have to be in awe of the Mishkan. Source 5, Parshat Vayakel. Vayakel Moshe Kol Bnei Yisrael, Hashem gathered the Jews, and he told us, Sheshet Yamin Tasem Lacha, again, on the seventh day, 6 days you work, and on the seventh day you rest. Vayomer Moshe El Kol Eida, Lemor Zeh Devar Shezeh V'Hashem, Lemor Chumi Itchem Truma L'Hashem, Kol Nadiv Livo Yeviyat Truma T'Hashem, Zav HaChez V'Nachoshet, bring the gold and the silver and everything that we need for the Mishkan. Why is there such an intrinsic connection between observing Shabbat and the Mishkan? And notice, building the Mishkan is what is not allowed on Shabbat. Again, back to the punchline. Source 11. Melechet HaMishkan Eino Doche Shabbat. And by the way, I should mention parenthetically again, the Gemara actually asks, all right, the klal is, the rule is that if a mitzvah taseh, like building the Mishkan, comes in conflict with an aseh and a lo taseh, so the aseh and lo taseh, for example, Shabbat is positive and negative, that supersedes the mitzvah of building a Mishkan. If so, why do Chazal need to tell us that we learn out from all these psukim that the Mishkan, you can't build it on Shabbat? Time and again, the Mishkan, you can't build it on Shabbat. We know that from the rules of Halakha, because Shabbat is a positive and negative, and the Mishkan is just a positive. So why? Apparently there's something deeper going on. Now the punchline. Melechet HaMishkan Eino Doche Shabbat. Why? Mipnei Shebishisha Yemei HaShavua HaAvoda VeAhava VeYirahim BeTzimtzum Me'achar Shehu Im Zeh HaOlam. Here is the key word. Tzimtzum. What is Tzimtzum? Tzimtzum is constriction. According to Kabbalah, how did God create the world? Hari, God is unending. He's unbeginning. He is eternal. So how could God fit himself as if it were into this physical, temporary three-dimensional world? The answer is Tzimtzum. Restriction after restriction after restriction after restriction, as we explained before. God, as if it were, restricted himself into this world. Now, this should sound familiar, because the Mishkan is also Tzimtzum. Mishkan is, how can we fit God into a tabernacle or into a holy temple? Hare Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is eternal. Hashem tells us that he does us a favor, and so that because we need a Mishkan, we need a Beit HaMikdash, Hashem says, Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti betocham. I am willing to restrict, constrict myself, as if it were, into that Mishkan. If so, this world, listen well, this world is based on constriction. The Mishkan is based on constriction. What was before God constricted himself in this world? It was a Yom Shekulo Shabbat. All there was Shabbat. All there was God. And God is unending, is unconstricted, unrestricted. God is, so, just like we said before, every week has a Shabbat at the beginning and a Shabbat at the end, including the 6 days of creation. In other words, the 6 days of creation were preceded by God, were preceded by total Shabbat. And the seventh day, when God rested, he is giving us a taste, 1/60th, of what that original Shabbat was and what the Shabbat in the future, the Yom Shekulo Shabbat, what the whole world is going to be like. In other words, the whole world originally was God, Shabbat. The whole world eventually will be just God, Shabbat. And our neshamot will be there with Hashem, benefiting and enjoying God's revelation. But that is the final Shabbat. In this world, we are meant to work. The six-day world was a world of constriction. And that's what we remember during the 6 days that we create. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. We are creating, creating, creating. We are becoming partners with God. But on the seventh day, we remember that the original world was totally Shabbat. And that in the end of days, it will be totally Shabbat. And if so, Shabbat is the exact antithesis of Tzimtzum. Shabbat is the exact opposite of the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan is about constricting God into one place. And the world is based on constricting God as if it were into one place in the world. And if so, the whole idea of Shabbat is not to do the Mishkan. And that's why exactly the 39 things which were done to build the Mishkan, that is exactly that which is prohibited on Shabbat. Because again, the building of the Mishkan is Tzimtzum. It's a type of constricting God to one place where God wants us to do it for our needs. But Shabbat is to rise above the Tzimtzum to remind us what the world was before the constriction and what the world will be afterwards. And from now on, when you want to explain to your children, by the way, this idea, it's not that complicated. Just listen again to the last 5 minutes of the class, and when your children ask, why can't we take out the watermelon pits on Shabbat, when there used to be watermelon pits in the watermelon? Why can't we cook on Shabbat? Why can't we... Whatever is not allowed on Shabbat, it's because Shabbat is the opposite of the Mishkan. Those are the 39 things that were done in the Mishkan. And that's why on Shabbat, we davka want to refrain from them. Let's see again another source on this topic where you want to finish up, but there's another outstanding source from the Baal Shem Tov in source number 12. Darei ha'olam sheyihye la'atid lavo. The world that will be in the future, 60 times what we have on Shabbat today, in other words, a Shabbat squared and cubed, etc., 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 that world, which Olam shekulo Shabbat. Tzadikim yoshvim v'atorotem b'rashehem. Chazal tell us that what will we have in the world to come? We will not need mitzvot because we won't need to climb. We won't need hishtalmut because we will have shlemut. The tzadikim will sit and pashut enjoy the pleasure of God. And as if it were, they say, there in Masech Brachot, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh. They could actually, as if it were, see God, because God will not be constricted anymore. No more tzimtzum in the future world, just like there wasn't before God created the world. V'nisgav Hashem levado bayom hahu. The Baal Shem Tov quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu that says that on that day, in the future, in the world to come, in the ideal world, all there will is God. That's what Shabbat is about. And we, as sparks of God, will reunite to be and to enjoy and have the pleasure of God. Sachako, we're sparks of God. Chelek elukam mimal. Tselim elukim. But our job in this world is to use our godly soul to emulate God little by little and climb back to that level of Shabbat, which was the original plan. Getting back to Rav Kook. So Rav Kook is telling us, paragraph Gimel, Al ken, bereshit kvi'ut merkaz ha-kedusha ha-mikomit b'Yisrael, when we first started building the holy place in Israel, the Mishkan, that is the opposite of Shabbat, because it's Tzimtzum. And that is why when Shabbat, Saturday, comes around, we do not build the Mishkan. Jump down to the last paragraph, Dalet. Omnam. HaShabbat yiromemenu l'romamut ha'atid. When we observe Shabbat in another couple of days, the whole idea is to elevate us back to the future, back where we were before the world was created, and forward towards the future, to get a taste of that ideal world. L'yom shekulo Shabbat. A taste of that world before creation, and after creation, after the world finishes, shelo yilmedu od ishet achiv ve'ishet re'eu ledat et Hashem. We will no longer have to learn and teach each other, ki kulam yedu oto mikotnam vad godlam. Yirmiyahu tells us in Perek Lamed Aleph, everyone will know God. What does that mean, know God? We will be on that level of Shabbat. Im ken, mechuvenet yashvita l'umat ha'melachot, kulan asher shimshu b'mishkan. The whole idea of this world is to build a world just like the Mishkan, to build a godly world with those constrictions, to rise above the constrictions and to reveal God, just like in the Mishkan, also in this world. And that is why we learn the melachot of Shabbat, the labors that are forbidden on Shabbat, davka, from the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is the antithesis of Shabbat, because the Mishkan symbolizes this world, which is Tzimtzum, and Shabbat represented the world, which was Shabbat, the original world of Shabbat, before the world, and the final world of Shabbat, La'atid Levo.